Okay, go ahead. We're now recording.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the Sick Who Is Working Group call on Tuesday, 23rd of April, 2013. On the call today, we have Mark Anderson, Roy Baleste, Amar Elsaj, Alan Greenberg, Frédéric Guillemot, Marie-Laure Lemineur, Steve Metalitz, Mikey O'Connor, Susan Prosser, Tim Ruiz, and Jill Titzer. We have apologies from Don Blumenthal and Carolyn Hoover may arrive a little late. From staff, we have Marika Connings, Lars Hoffman, Barry Kopp, Nathalie Peregrine, and myself, Julia Chavelin. May I remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thanks, Julia, and welcome all. This is Mikey. Just to take our standard pause to take a look at the agenda and also anybody who wants to update a statement of interest. Okay. We'll get Marie on the call. Looks like she's having audio trouble. The next agenda item is takeaways from Beijing, and I have to apologize to the group. I was taking my usual copious notes in the little outliner that I use. I was doing it on a computer that got sterilized on the way back into the United States, and in the process of doing that, I lost every document I created in Beijing, so there are no notes. So this, I think, is just a chance for us to somewhat informally recap what we covered at the meeting in Beijing. My apologies for that. I'll get better at this transition back into the U.S. business in the future. I think for me, anyway, one of the most interesting parts of that conversation was the conversation about the impact of the new RAA on the privacy and data protection discussion. I was sort of hoping to see Volker on the call. I guess he may have had a long night because the new RAA was just released for comment about 12 hours ago. But I think one of the things that intrigued me a lot was the idea that the concept of an exemption where local data protection law conflicts with ICANN's contract, which is a concept that's been in the registry agreement for some time, is now making its way into the registrar accreditation agreement as well. And I know that Marika and some of the other folks in the data protection group have been conversing about that. Marika, do you want to give us just a really quick update, recognizing that this is all extremely preliminary, on where all that stands?
Sure, this is Marika. So I did a quick scan earlier this morning of the agreement, and I have to probably preface that by saying I'm not a lawyer and I wasn't involved in the REA negotiation, so definitely don't consider myself an expert in this area. But what I did find is two provisions or two parts that deal with this notion of exceptions or exemptions in cases of conflict with local laws. The first one is in the data retention specification. So that specifically calls out a process or procedure that needs to be used if there is a determination either based on a written legal opinion from a nationally recognized law firm or a ruling or written guidance from a governmental body or of competent jurisdiction that basically determines that there is that the data collection and or retention requirements of the specification violates applicable law. And then basically there's a procedure that then would follow. I think there's basically discussions with ICANN. There would be a public comment period involved and then a determination whether there should be any exemptions made. And then there's also another provision, but that specifically deals with special amendments, which is this new process, I think, that has been introduced here that would deal with ways of amending the agreement after it has come into force, which also provides for a procedure whereby if such a special amendment would be considered in contradiction to applicable laws or a conflict with applicable laws, that an exemption could be discussed or pursued through a specific mechanism. So those are the two provisions or places in the REA documents I've found, but as I said, there may be others, and I don't know if anyone else had already had a chance to look at those and found any other indications, or whether these are the two main ones that relate to that specific item.
Thanks, Marika. I'll throw this out to the rest of the group. I note that Tim and some of the other registrars are on. Do any of you registrar folks who are probably watching this a lot more closely than the rest of us have anything to add to that before I move on? I hate to put you on the spot like that, but that for me was sort of the major substantive conversation that we had in Beijing, and I just wanted to touch on that again. Anything else that people who were either on the call or at the meeting in Beijing want to add to this before we push along to the next piece? This is what's showing up on the screen, by the way, and thanks to Marika for that, is a note that Marika sent to the data protection subteam that sort of encapsulates the two big pieces of the proposed RAA agreement. And I think that each of us has the ability to scroll independently so you can sort of take a look at that. Marika, you may want to push that note along to the general list, too, just so people have that for their records. But anyway, I thought the timing was really good. It was helpful that Dan could sort of give us a bit of a preview of what was coming, and some of the other registrars could, too, and then to actually have at least the proposed draft come out, I think helped us move along. Okay, another agenda item, I'm going to move along to the next one. You know, we're sort of in the busy part of this working group. We've covered a lot of ground, and we're starting to produce a lot of documents, and so this is a pretty packed agenda. If I move us too quickly through this agenda, please slow me down. But what's on the screen now is a draft of the current state of the report from the Privacy and Data Protection Group. And Don Blumenthal, who is the chair of that subgroup, is unfortunately not able to be with us today. He's at a meeting out of the country. And so unless somebody else in the group would like to, I thought I would just briefly highlight where I think the group is at. I did ask folks on that sub-team list this morning if anybody wanted to do this update, and I'll take a minute and see if anybody would like to do this instead of me. Not being overwhelmed with hands being raised. So let me just very quickly... Steve, go ahead. Steve Metallitz.
Yeah, Steve Metallitz. Just to say that Don prepared an excellent draft, and we had a good meeting last week, which we went over it and made some suggestions for changes, and most of them small. And what he circulated this morning is supposed to reflect that, but I certainly haven't had a chance to look at it. But I don't know whether it fully does, but I think in general there was a lot of support for his draft, and after we've had a chance to go through it, you know, we can move it along to the next step.
What? You mean it's not fair to put 12-hour-old documents in front of the rest of the group? Sorry. That's the main point that I was going to make as well, Steve, thanks, and that is that the group seems to be making very good progress. I've been an observer on their list, and I mostly just wanted to acknowledge all the hard work that the group is doing and also acknowledge that there does seem to be very good progress here, and encourage any and all, especially members of that subgroup, to really bear down on this latest draft that Don has published, because it does seem to be coming in towards a final state, and at that point the rest of us will want to be taking a look at it. We're under a bit of a tight deadline to try and hit our goal of an initial report by the Durban meeting. And so you'll find me to be something of a taskmaster for the next few months as we try to drive towards that deadline. So many thanks to everybody on that team, and we're really looking forward to a closely reviewed version of this and the chance to take a look at it soon. All right. The next piece of this agenda, I'll stop for a minute. Is there anything else that folks want to say about the current state of affairs in the privacy and data protection subgroup before we move along? I mostly was looking for a status update, and I'm pretty confident that we've got a good one here, but I don't want to monopolize the conversation either. I see that Amr is typing. Amr is saying nothing to add, so good. Sounds like we're on track there. The next piece of this agenda is to go through four fairly closely reviewed drafts and see if we can come down to final on them. We've had these drafts in front of us for several weeks now, several weeks before Beijing and then the period that we were in Beijing, and so I'm hoping that we can put these four to bed. I'm going to go through them very quickly and mostly give people the opportunity to take one last look at them. But we've been at these for a while, and I would like to essentially put these in the consensus column if we can, but this is the opportunity for folks to sort of throw up a hand and say, yikes, this is a big problem, I didn't realize that. So if people are uncomfortable, by all means express your discomfort, but as I say, these have been pretty well reviewed drafts, and I note that the language has been tidied up pretty effectively in these, so I'm going to go through these fairly quickly. The first one, and the one that's on your screen, is the section that deals with authoritativeness. And one of the changes that's gone in is this notion that there is a little inconsistency with the UDRP treating registrar data as authoritative and the rest of us sort of thinking of the registry data as authoritative. And if you look at the very end, you'll see that we've got a preliminary recommendation at the end that says we're not quite sure what to do quite yet with that UDRP discussion, but that other than that, our conclusion is that it's not necessary for us to rule on this, that BIC registries have functioned quite well without a formal position on authoritativeness, and we are going to leave that in place. We're not going to change it. So if there's any discomfort with that point of view, this would be a good time to speak. Steve, and then, the queue is building nicely. Go ahead, Steve, first.
Yeah, Steve Metalitz. I'm not sure I have discomfort with the last paragraph, but I'd want I'm not quite sure what we're recommending here. Just that we want the GNSO council to do something. I did ask some people who are much more knowledgeable about the UDRP than I am about this question, and I don't think my summary of their responses is that I'm not sure that this is a problem that we need to recommend be solved. But I have to go back and look. They basically looked back at the UDRP cases and how discrepancies between, you know, or inaccuracies or problems in the registrar data had been handled. So I'm not quite ready to sign off on this because I'd like to go back and share and kind of summarize what they told me and circulate that to the full group, because these are folks that are much more knowledgeable than I am. Some of them are active UDRP panelists, so I'd like to get their input on this.
I think that's fine, Steve, and I think one of the things we might want to do in terms of organizing the document is to pull this out of our recommendation and put it in a category of the document that's something like suggestions for future work or observations that came out of our analysis, but I don't think it's a gating item for our recommendation in terms of thick who is. At least that's my initial guess.
This is Stephen. I would agree with that comment.
Thanks. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I did raise this issue when it came up with the locking PDP, because that's populated by a number of dispute providers. And the comment that came back is, oh, that's interesting, we didn't know that, and it's sort of something to keep in mind. However, in general, when there is some question about who the registrant is, they tend to list everyone. And I would presume that would continue in the very few rare cases where there may be a discrepancy. And so I think it's something we should note, but I don't think it's a reason, you know, not to go forward. The thick whoises have existed, and there are UDRPs on them, and the world has not come to an end. So it's something we shouldn't ignore because we have noted it, but I don't think we need to do a lot more than that. Thank you.
Thanks, Al. Mark?
Hey, this is Mark. How's it going? I'm not sure exactly the right place to bring this up, but I'll throw it out here because I think authoritativeness is as close to the right place as possible, you know, for this. But if anybody's read the GAC advice that was issued during the Beijing meeting, there's a number of references to who is in the GAC advice. You know, and some of them are somewhat applicable to the stuff we're talking about and is worth bringing up. But one in particular here that I wanted to mention is under the GAC advice for safeguards applicable to all new GTLDs, they talk about who is verification and checks, and they say that the registry operator will conduct checks on a statistically significant basis to identify registrations in its GTLD which are deliberately false, inaccurate, or incomplete who is data at least twice a year. Right, and certainly this would apply to all, you know, all new GTLDs which are thick, and I think this has sort of a direct bearing on the authoritativeness question, in that you know, who is authoritative for the data itself, the who is data, and if the registry operators are expected to conduct checks, how can they, you know, how are they expected to conduct those checks when they don't have a direct relationship with the registrants, and the registrars have that relationship? So you know, again, I'm not, you know this is something that's concerning to me, and I'm not sure exactly how that applies, but I think this authoritative question is the right place to bring it up.
Thanks, Mark. That's an interesting one. I have an off-the-cuff reaction, which is that if the registry is thick, then the registry does have that data, and thus they could. I think the interesting puzzler is what do you do in a situation with a thin registry where the registry would not have some of that data. And my initial guess on that is that the framers of the GAC advice probably weren't aware of that when they wrote their advice and presumed that the registries were thick, which they would be in new GTLDs.
My question is, as a registry operator, how can you verify if the information is deliberately false, inaccurate, or incomplete? This relates directly to the authoritativeness question, I think, is, if you may be authoritative for the data, as a registry operator, but how can you be authoritative for its accuracy? And that's my question and my concern.
Okay, we're building a bit of a queue, and maybe some of those folks will address it. I think for now I'll just keep working through the queue. Tim, go ahead.
Mark's question, we're kind of maybe getting into something where we're not really a part of what we're tasked to do, which is in regards to accuracy. But good question. At any rate, what my comment really was about the UDRP, and just I don't disagree with what like Alan and Steve had said. But I was going to point out that where this comment is being made is specifically in the paragraph about the thin who is environment. I'm not so sure it's an invalid comment, but maybe, some rewording or whatever. I think the point is that, thick registries exist. UDRP manages to do its thing with existing thick registries. So in a thin environment, this is a question. But what we're talking about here is, the only thin registries, common net becoming thick. And if they do, then I think UDRP would just deal with them in the same way that it deals with other thick registries. So I guess I'm just kind of agreeing with Alan and Steve in a way that maybe this just really isn't an issue that needs to be mentioned here, unless we're just trying to point something out as, a current issue or whatever that might exist with a thin who is environment, because that's what this paragraph is specifically talking about.
Thanks, Tim. I think that's a useful clarification. Maybe we do need to slightly reword this to capture that emphasis, because I think that's a correct emphasis. Thanks. Alan?
Thank you. 2 points. First of all, with regard to that issue of authoritativeness, remember, even in a thin who is, you can have conflicts. When a UDRP is filed, the registrar is identified. That registrar may be wrong. If the UDRP provider is doing their job properly, they're going to go back to the registry to see who the registrar of record is. And it's not unheard of to have the registry pointing to registrar X, but registrar Y also having a who is entry for the domain. These are conflicts that presumably a competent UDRP provider has to address anyway, and I don't think we need to be worried about it. With regard to the issue Mark raised, I think it's real out of scope, number one, because this is just advice that isn't even adopted, and presumably it is only for new GTLDs at this point. So I think we really don't want to wander into that territory. Thank you. I'll point out one last thing. If one would want to wander into the territory, it's very hard for the it might be very hard for the registry to determine that the data is accurate it's not that hard often to determine it's inaccurate. And in many cases, that's all the verifications are going to be doing, at least at the first stage. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Steve, I think you've got the last word on this one.
Yes, I, this is Steve Metalis. I would agree with what Alan said on this point. I think Mark's raised a good point, but it's not in scope here. The question of whether or to what extent the registry has some responsibility to ensure or audit the accuracy of the data is a separate question from whether the data is treated authoritative, is considered as authoritative by third parties. So I think the authoritativeness question is relevant here, but not the question of verification. It's a legitimate point, but this is not the place.
Thanks, Steve. And I tend to agree, Mark. I don't think you're getting much traction with that idea for all the reasons listed above by folks who've spoken to it. So unless you just absolutely throw your body on the tracks, I'm gonna leave that one out of the of this particular section.
I certainly understand and appreciate the people's hesitancy to include that, but I bring it up because if the registry operator is considered authoritative for the data that implies certain accuracy. I have some concerns about that, and I think we've mentioned it. I'm trying to skim through what we put in here. I've certainly raised this that the registrar still maintains the relationship with the registrant, right? And so I think it's important that concept get included in the authoritativeness discussion. I recognize the point that the GAC advice is specific to new GTLDs, but certainly the question of accuracy of who is data isn't a new question. This is something that's come up for existing TLDs before, and it will continue to come up again. And it's something that's an important point when it comes to the authoritativeness of the data.
Yeah, I think that's right, but I don't think it's in scope for us to resolve that one. I think that's the main point there.
I know that the charter doesn't say anything specifically about accuracy, but if the transition to from a thin to a thick registry changes the onus or the ownership on who is responsible for being making sure the data is accurate, then that has major implications for the transition of a registry from thin to thick. And let me just ask one final point. So do we have anybody on here that operates a thick registry that can speak to, do they do anything today to ensure the accuracy of the data, and what requests or questions have come up around ensuring the accuracy of the data?
I'm looking down the list. I don't see.
Say, Mikey, this is Tim Ruiz. I don't operate a thick registry, but I've got a comment about that. And as a registrar, we certainly have, like, say, .us, for an example. They have a certain restriction on certain terms that can't be used, the U.S.'s FCC's seven dirty words, whatever you want to say. So they certainly check the data, like domain names, for that, and they're able to let us know that, this domain name can't be registered, or we've got a problem with it, or whatever. They also require a certain amount of nexus. In other words, if you're going to register a .us name, you have to have some sort of nexus in the U.S., so at least your name servers or whatever have to be in the U.S., so they check that kind of data. So to say that, you know, registries, if they don't have a relationship with the registrant, can't check accuracy, I don't think that's a true statement. I think other ccTLDs are really good examples for that as well, because they certainly can check, you know, quite a bit of the data for accuracy, and perhaps even in those cases where they can't definitively say this is right or wrong, they can certainly get a very good indication that something might be wrong, and then refer that to the registrars to dig into further if it requires actual communication with the registrar, which I assume it would at some point. So I don't think that, I think that assumption that you have to be authoritative for the data in order to do accuracy checks probably isn't valid. And the discussions that I've been privy to up to this point don't involve just the registry or the registrar getting involved in checking accuracy. It seems there are validations. Like both will at some point be involved in some degree in that validation and accuracy type check. I think, you know, even as we are today, really in a lot lighter sense, but to a much greater degree probably down the road. So anyway, so that's just my comments there. But again, I think if we get into that discussion here, you know, Cisco, we're going to have to bring in a whole lot of things that is just really going to bog us down and completely get us off track with what our charter really is.
Thanks, Tim. Mark, I'm sort of back to the place I was before. I don't feel like you're getting much traction with this one. There is a paragraph in this draft. It's just the paragraph above the conclusion that notes the difference between authoritative. You know, it addresses the accuracy issue, and we've discussed this quite a while, and in many different ways, and I'm going to rule this one to be essentially an issue that's addressed by all thick registries and carry on. Sorry about that.
Understood.
Anything else on this one? I mean, one of the preliminary ideas that has come up and maybe we should consider is to simply remove the UDRP discussion. Alan, you're the one that I think introduced it. I'm going to sort of put you on the spot. Would you view it as sort of a friendly amendment if we took that whole discussion out of this draft?
Problem at all. As I said, I think in our final report we should mention it somewhere just because it was noted, and we shouldn't let it disappear. But
yeah.
I have no problem deleting it from this section.
Okay. So, Marika and Barry and Lars, if you could sort of figure out a way to extract that discussion from this recommendation and start building a separate section of the report where we capture these topics that we came across while we were doing our work that aren't directly part of our charter, but that we wanted to pass along to the community, I think that would be helpful. Okay. I'm going to put that one on the approved pile and move us along to the next one, which is going up on the screen. I have to expand it on my screen so I can read it. This is the one about data escrow, and again, I don't want to go through the whole discussion again. The conclusion is, again, that this does not impede or bear directly really on the decision that we're being asked to make. The registrars, I wish Volker were on. I'm sure he's just snowed under today. I think that where we wound up in this, and I the reason I'm relying on Volker, oh, well, Tim, you're with us. I guess I'll let you be Volker surrogate today. But, you know, my sense was that while the working group was sort of sympathetic is the issue of the excessiveness of the number of copies of data. We viewed it as something somewhat out of our scope and thought that that was probably better addressed in RAA negotiations or other discussions. Maybe Alan can remind me. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I haven't looked at the final RAA to see whether the escrow provisions have changed, but I'm assuming they have not. And I would suggest that if the registrars did not get sufficient traction to change it in the new RAA for all of the thick registries that will be coming on board, a recommendation from us is not going to have a lot of power.
Yeah, that was sort of my thought as well, that's a train that's running on a different set of tracks, and that what we were looking for was really whether there was an overwhelming issue that came out of our scope that we needed to address, and the conclusion we came to is no, there's not. So again, this is one that I'd preliminarily like to put in the done pile, but let's have a chat about that. Frederick, go ahead.
Hi. Well, I don't want to talk for Volker, but as a registrar, I mean, we know how to escrow the data, and we think it's not very useful to escrow data on a thick RIS environment because it should be the registry doing this. But for us, I mean, it's all in place, it's all set up and running, so there's no real issue with that, with carrying on to have the escrow data, especially as it's free. If you're a registrar using Iron Mountain, it's paid for by ICANN, so.
Yeah.
So there's no issue. It's not that we want to do it. I think it's not very useful, but we can carry on. No issue.
Yeah, okay. Well, that might be good to capture.
Well, for Volker, it was useful because at some point, some registrars had been able to help a registry recover their domain names.
Ah.
So that's his experience.
Value in it. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so that says that this draft could stand as written. Unless somebody else has got something, I'm going to push us along to the next one. I'm not seeing anybody in the queue. So let's go on to the next. The next one is the synchronization one. Expand it so I can read it. This is all about inconsistency of data. And our conclusion, we don't really have a conclusion yet on this one. Marika's got her hand up. Maybe I'll throw the ball to you, Marika. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. In our conclusions as well, in the section in blue, we talk about the removal of the Registrar Port 43 requirement. And I think if I've read the new RAA documents correctly, I think it already proposes that for SIG registry, this requirement would no longer apply. So I'm guessing that this issue is kind of moot, and we may maybe just refer to that's already going to be the status quo, provided the new RAA is adopted in its current form.
Ah, that's what was going on. I didn't have the whole document in front of me. There we go. Right, and we have very late news on that. Again, as Marika has mentioned, the new RAA agreement is out, and it removes that requirement, correct? So maybe what we should do is take this one. Maybe we should acknowledge the latest draft of the RAA in this set of conclusions and revise it ever so slightly given that that seems to be the emerging trend. You know, we have sort of a timing problem because the new REA isn't final yet, but it certainly seems like it's going that way. Mark, go ahead.
This is Mark. Sorry, quick question, I guess, on that. Is it does the new RIA remove the port 43 requirement, the port 43 and the web whois requirement, or both?
I'm going to take a guess. I believe it's only port 43, and I think it's only for registrars. But Alan's got his hand up. Are you on that topic?
Yeah, that's correct. The web-based whois is still required. Port 43 for thin registries is not required.
For thick registries will
no longer be required when a registrar is under the new RIA.
Right.
Okay. Gotcha. Thanks for the clarification. So that was a little tangent. So I had a comment on the synchronization. Another, just for clarification, this is synchronization and migration, right? Or did we do migration separately?
I can't remember.
I think so my comments on the migration, I think one of the things we had talked about that I don't see on here is the need for some kind of notification to registrants in advance of the migration. So I think this is intended to be synchronization and migration. If migration's separate, then I apologize, it's the wrong place. But I think it's important that we include registrant notification, in there. And I think this is probably the right place for it. So that was my comment there.
I'm gonna use my right to telephone smarter people than me and ask Marika and Lars and Barry. Did we combine synchronization and migration, or do we have migration yet to go? Marika, go ahead.
This is Marika. We did have, those two topics were combined in this sub-team, but I think indeed the focus has been more on synchronization than migration as such. Although, you know, if we're looking at the overall, I think it was discussed, but I don't think it maybe has been called out specifically enough. So if there are any specific suggestions that Mark has to bring that out in the draft, I think that would be most welcome.
I'm thinking that if this is supposed to cover synchronization and migration, that maybe this one needs to go back for another draft, because I agree with Mark. There are migration issues that we should call out and at least address in our report, and this seems a bit light on that part of the discussion. I'll throw that out and let the queue sort of chew on it. Alan, go ahead.
Thank you. I guess I'd like some clarity on what Mark is suggesting, that we require registrars to notify registrants before migration, or that we alert them that they may choose to, or I'm not quite sure what the recommendation, what he's suggesting right now. My recollection is for .org there was no notification. That doesn't mean there shouldn't be this time, but I'd like clarity on what's being discussed here.
Mark, before you do what I would do, which is to leap in and respond, I think what this is saying to me as sort of the process guy in this is that we need a little bit more discussion of the migration topic. I'm not sure that this is the call to do it. So I think what I'd like to do is continue along my tracks of saying that this particular draft needs a bit more work and not try and actually revise it right now.
Mikey, can I add something?
Sure, go ahead.
Because I think actually the description of the topic may help, because I think we may be talking about migration in the larger or the bigger picture scenario, because the question itself for the sub-team is, what will be the impact on the registry and registrar who is and EPP systems for those registries currently operating a thin registry, both in the migration phase to thick whois as well as ongoing operations? So I think the question was phrased, it didn't really talk about registrar notification, which I think is one of the questions that comes probably later down the track if there would be consensus or agreement to recommend a transition. Indeed, what would need to be done in that migration? I think we may be fixing the tube up here.
Yep. That's helping me a lot anyway. And that changes my thought. So I'll let Tim go first because he was in the queue, and then I'll circle back around. Tim, go ahead.
Yeah, I guess that was what I was thinking more or less as well. And then just wanted to comment too that we just want to be not get bogged down in implementation details. So we want to stay, I don't know if you call it higher level, whatever. We certainly want to stay within the policy realm. I think, if we do go that route of, common net becoming thick, there's a whole slew of implementation details I'm sure are going to need to be, probably another whole, team put together just to deal with some of those things. But I don't think we need to get that bogged down here. So just a word of caution in that regard.
Yeah, I agree with that as well, Tim. Mark, I think there are two places where that topic that you've just raised get addressed. I think, first, we do get a chance, if we conclude that a transition to thick is warranted, then we get to speak to implementation topics in our work. But this is probably not the place to do it because this was a much more technical focus, this particular topic. And Marika, I think that it would be useful to put a section at the front, but maybe expand the very first paragraph, the issue description, just a little bit to capture that notion. But then move the topic that Mark has raised into the topics to consider during our implementation discussion, which is coming up, and also pay close attention to Tim's words, which are correct, which is the implementation of this is going to be quite tasty, and we don't need to plan that implementation. We merely need to advise on it. Marika, go ahead.
This is Marika. If I may put a stake in the ground here, because we did have very lengthy discussions in Beijing, and it's an ongoing debate on the policy versus implementation. I do, and this is my personal opinion, I do believe if there is any guidance this working group wants to provide eventually, and they're just, of course, already looking ahead, and people may already want to start thinking about it, like how to go about that implementation discussion, if there's any kind of a framework or structure that should be used. We have implementation review teams, but they're loosely defined. So I would like to maybe challenge the working group on that point once we get to that discussion to already try to think of how much detail or how much information or guidance should be put as part of this working group's debate and what should be moved maybe to a later stage to really make sure that we don't get into situations that we've seen occurring in previous policy discussions where some felt there wasn't enough detail included in the report that would help the implementation that resulted in more lengthy implementation discussions or where people felt that certain things were policy decisions versus implementation ones. And I think most of you know the debate, so it's just something for you to start thinking about, and as we progress, hopefully someone comes up with a really good idea and suggestion on how to manage and balance those two different items.
Thanks. That's neat. Well, that'll be an interesting part of our work. Alan?
Thank you. I rarely disagree with Marika, but I think this time, to a large extent, I do. I think we need to highlight in the report any implementation issues that we're aware of. And certainly when we get to Don's paper, the overall word will be do it carefully, do it with thought. But the actual implementation of this is going to be very, very technical
and will require people who are, you know, the technical experts for registrars and registries. And although there may be one or two people on this group who meet that qualification, I don't think this is the group that can really talk about the implementation in any detail, other than to add caveats that came up as we have gone through the process. Thank you.
I'm not actually detecting a whole lot of disagreement between you and Marika there.
No, I'm not. But what I'm saying is the focus should be on noting issues, not really planning the implementation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think that Marika would subscribe to that either. Anyway. Okay, so we've cleared out the queue, and I think we've cleared it out in such a way that the only action that I heard come out of this was to slightly clarify the issue description paragraph to make clear the boundaries of this particular section. And we may also want to change the title. If the subgroup was really synchronization and migration, we might want to put that back in the title. But other than that, I think that we have disposed of this section and can put it on the approved pile. And I just want to check for howls of anguish over that idea. Okay. It's 5 minutes to the hour. Let's just look at this last one and see sort of what kind of condition it's in. And see if we can put it to bed. If we can, great. If we can't, that's fine. We'll pick it up the next time. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. I do actually believe that we didn't have much time to discuss this one yet, because I think indeed the last meetings we spent more on revising the other one. So I think this may be one where, you know, indeed people could be encouraged to have a closer look and highlight any issues maybe on the mailing list, so we can possibly have a revised version if needed in time for the next meeting.
Okay, so let's very quickly all of us take this is a nice short draft. Let's just take a minute. I'm going to count off a minute on the clock to actually read this as individuals, and then we'll spend just a few minutes in the queue for initial ideas, and then wrap up. Okay, Mark's in the queue. Anybody else want to jump in? This is the time to do it. Take it away, Mark.
This is Mark. A quick clarification. The second paragraph says the two largest registries are exempt. All other registries are thick. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe .tv is, or sorry, not .tv, .jobs. Jobs is also not a thick registry. So correct me if I'm wrong, I believe there are three registries that are not thick.
Yep, that's right. That's a drafting error. We should pick that one up. Good catch, Mark. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to type in the chat, but unfortunately I don't seem to be able to type in the chat. So I was just going to say I agree with this draft. It looks fine.
All right. Anybody else seeing anything that leaps out at them on this one? I think, you know, given the lateness of the hour, we'll maybe circulate this one more time to the list and try and dispose of it fairly quickly at the top of the next call. I'm a little reluctant to go through something sort of for the first time in 2 minutes. Yeah, that seems a bit short. So Marika, if it's okay with you, I'm certainly not seeing much in the way of revision. Oh, there's Tim. I'm going to shut up. Tim, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I don't really know how it would, if anything needs to change. I just want to point out that, you know, the way it sounds, well, you know, all other registries are, you know, thick except for these two, so it would level the playing field. You know, these
something. But really what we're talking about here, I mean, there's one registry that's thin that has more registrations than all the other registries practically put together, or, you know, pretty significantly more. So, I mean, the impact, you know, is going to be quite different than when we did org, for example. You know, there's hundreds of millions of domain names involved. So, you know, I don't know if anything really needs to change here, but I think we need to keep that in mind, maybe as we refine things, that, you know, this is a significantly double-digit large percentage of the existing registrations that something significant is going to change about them. And so it's not, you know, just a simple, oh, we're just kind of leveling the playing field, blah, 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 with this registry and that. We don't want to forget the immenseness of the transition we're talking about.
Yeah, I think that's right. I would commend all of us to sort of take a look at this draft. Marika, if you could recirculate it and encourage people to take a hard look at it, and maybe throw in Tim's comment that, you know, there is sort of a large proportion of the domain names registered in one of these thin registries. Might not be a bad idea. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika, already looking ahead as well, the next agenda item, and I know we're running out of time. I don't know if it would be helpful if I would already try to write that up in a similar way as I've done for this one, which basically is mainly based on the comments and submissions received that then can serve then as a base for discussion for the next call. I don't know if that's helpful or people first prefer to have a discussion, and then I try to write that up. It's up to you.
I'm quite keen on those drafts that you've prepared, and so unless anybody has a big problem with that, I think that one of the nice things about summarizing and basing a draft on the comments is that we tend to pick up a bit more of the nuance that way. And so I'm going to go ahead and say, please do, Marika, and if you could circulate that as well, I think that would give us a good start on the conversation. Okay, I see it at the top of the hour. I thank you all for joining us. I think we're making pretty good progress here, and we're going to have to keep doing that to hit our dates. Avery's just joining. I bet there's a time zone problem here. Anyway, we'll see you all in a week, and thanks a million. Julia, I think you can stop the recording at this point.
Thanks, Mikey.
Thanks.
Thank you.